The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You have faith in God. Have faith also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If there were not, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back again and take you to myself, so that where I am, you also may be. Where I am going, you know the way." Thomas said to him, "Master, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." The Gospel of the Lord. So Jesus said to his apostles, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." And we're going to take a closer look at that one here today. First thing to understand when Jesus says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled," is that that's a commandment. He's speaking in the imperative. Do not let it happen. Now, whenever God gives a commandment, there's two things we need to remember. First is that God never commands what's impossible. So when Jesus says, "Don't let your hearts be troubled," that does not mean don't feel upset, because that would be commanding what's impossible. Feelings are like the weather, they're just there. Emotions come and emotions go. What it does mean is that you're not going to indulge those emotions. In the privacy of your thoughts, there's a choice to be made all day long as to whether or not you're going to let your heart be troubled. There's lots of ways in which people make this choice. Let me just give you two here today. The first is that almost everyone lives all day long with a toxic monologue in their head that they play and listen to. The monologue says things like, "You're so stupid, you're so ugly, you're so worthless, you're no good." Toxic monologue. And it's in almost every life. I just take my word for it. I know it from circumstantial evidence. Now, you can listen to that and let your heart be troubled if you want. But there's a choice to be made. You don't have to listen to it. You can turn that into a prayer, and the simple prayer I suggest goes something like this. You say, "Lord, I know one thing for sure. That is not your voice. So, Lord, help me to listen to your voice and not to that voice." And you know what? That toxic monologue will lose its grip over you. It'll slowly fade away. There's another way in which people let their hearts be troubled in the privacy of their thoughts, and that's their worries. Now, God said time and time again, "Don't worry, please. Don't be afraid. Don't worry." But people do anyway. And most people worry about their finances, their relationships, or their health. But are you aware that even though you can't control worries that spring up, you can control what you do with those worries? And understand this, your worries reveal your lack of faith. What you worry about, you don't yet have enough faith about. And what we do with it is we choose to turn it into a prayer. It's finances you're worried about, it's health you're worried about, turn it into a prayer. But don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let your private thoughts run your life. Choose what you're going to think about. Choose who you're going to believe. Now, I said there were two things about every commandment. The first is God never commands the impossible. Here's the second. Whenever God commands anything, he provides the means that we need to carry out his commandment. You know what? He just called a cardinal to become the pope. They say that when he was called to become the pope, he put his head in his hands. You know, he was praying. I have a feeling that somewhere in the depths of his mind, he was thinking to himself, Lord, what you've commanded, you've got to provide for, right? You know what I'm made of. You got to provide. Well, you got to remember that too. What God has called you to, He will provide everything you need. And you realize that when you were baptized and that when you were confirmed, you received the gift of hope. And this is what we need to come back to time and time again. Hope is that theological virtue by which you know you will be given everything you need to fulfill your purpose in this life. Now, not everything you want, and not even everything that you might think you need moment by moment, but do you forget the purpose for which you were created was to come into an absolute head-over-heels love relationship with God and to be with God forever in heaven, and every person in this world is given everything they need to fulfill the purpose for which we were created. And you know, sometimes when you go through a hard time, maybe it's a deprivation, and you say, Lord, where are you? With the virtue of hope, you can realize that a lot of our lives are purgatorial. Because let's be honest with ourselves. We've gotten off track, haven't we? We've forgotten the purpose for which we were created. And sometimes God sends a bit of a hardship or a bit of a bite into your life to make you turn back to Him. It's all through the Scriptures. He does it time and time again. But that's how we want to look at this. That's how we want to look at this commandment. When Jesus said these words, let's remember the context. Don't let your hearts be troubled. He told that to His apostles at the Last Supper because He knew that the next day they were going to see some pretty horrible things. They were going to see the Lord turned over to the secular Roman authorities, beaten to within an inch of His life, left to die hanging on a cross with a pair of common criminals, sealed in a stone-cold tomb, the death of all hope. When you see that stuff, Jesus says to His apostles, don't let your hearts be troubled. Now, how can He say that? He can say that because He knows about the resurrection. Most of us live our lives with our own dreams and plans, don't we? Yes, we do. I've got my dreams, I've got my plans, I've got my little white picket fence house all picked out. And when most people go to pray, they ask God to help make their dreams and plans come true. Now, that's not all bad. It's okay to pray for what you want or what you think you want. Even Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane prayed, Lord, if it's Father, if it be your will, please let this cup pass me by. But understand this. Good as your dreams and plans are, God has dreams and plans. And you cannot improve on God's dreams and plans. That's why at the heart of our prayer, we want to do a reversal. We want to get it away from self-centeredness and turn it back towards God-centeredness. Because that's what it means to pray in faith. The Christian story is the only story in the world that must be read backwards in order to be understood. We start with Jesus risen from the dead. In that light, everything begins to make sense, in spite of all the troubles. And Jesus never said, come follow me and all your troubles will be over, did he? No. He didn't tell us we wouldn't have troubles in this world. In fact, he promised the opposite. He said, you will have trouble in this world, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Don't let your heart be troubled. See everything in the light of Jesus risen from the dead, in spite of how things might appear. Let's be a sign of hope to one another. Amen.